Hey guys, I just wanted to reach out to you and let you know that SureWinder is still selling amazing products. Some of you guys have been dragging your feet for whatever reason. If your shoulder hurts, do not waste time. Pull the trigger. I just bought four or five of them, and we had two guys out. You know how much it cost me to pay for two guys being out with bad shoulders? We just pulled the trigger and we said, listen, everybody's going to have one on a truck. It's mandatory. You got to use it. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till your guys go down. It's going to cost you more. Buy a SureWinder.
Hey, what's up, guys? Ryan here, Torsion Talk Podcast. And I want to spend a little time today talking about one of y'all's favorite subjects. I'll give a disclaimer to make a couple upset people happy. I am not telling you what to price specific products at. I am simply going to share my experience, especially when it comes to pricing. So I'm going to go back to 2018. Pretty good market. 2018 was a pretty good residential market. We're doing spring changes for, I think, 375, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I was so busy, I just never put like a lot of thought into really going through the process of figuring out how much money we need to make in a day, an hour. And I was like, I just need to grind it out, make as much money as I can. I'll worry about that later. And then 2019 hit, and we decided to really take a different approach and go after high-end clientele. And when we did that, that was like hugely beneficial for us. That was kind of the crossing over, I guess, for us. And we knew we had to change over some of the staff to get to where we're at now, because we knew we couldn't perform at the level with some of the people that we had in the past in the field, especially. There was a lot of limitations. And if you just want to serve everyone, then, you know, you can have anybody. But when you go high end, you got to invest in hiring people that, you know, really care for their truck and go above and beyond and just do everything right with integrity and all of that. So I learned quickly that those people cost more, you know, and then we were like, well, how do you attract those people? Well, we gotta offer benefits, and we needed to offer health insurance and dental vision. And you know, what were the things that those people were interested in? That was it. So then we added cost there as well, right? And I'm going to fast forward and express that if I was charging $375, then we're at like six something now, $650 for a double spring change. And we do it all the time. We're very good at it. We are using some great products. We have great warranty. We deliver an amazing experience that's worth it to a lot of people. The people that hire us, they appreciate it. It's not an experience that a lot of people can deliver, especially with their current team. And I find out that people are doing torsion conversions today, 2024, for $375. I was low in 2018 on my prices for a spring change, in my opinion. And fast forward 6 years, And what? Now people are doing torsion conversions at that price. And the justification is, oh, it's only, 10 parts and I can knock it out in no time, and those parts don't cost any more than $100. That's the mentality of someone who doesn't fully understand business and cannot grow without going bankrupt. There's a minimum that you need to make on a daily basis. Every business needs to make on a daily basis. The question is, do you know that minimum? Are you hitting that minimum? If you aren't playing that role where you're trying to figure that out, then there's a massive problem, because it's kind of like a cat chasing its tail. Only a few things can happen. The cat gets really tired and gives up. The cat hurts itself and falls over. But the cat never catches the tail. In this story, I'm telling you, please share this with people in your market, because good businesses don't base their prices off of what their competitors charge. They don't. You want to know what good businesses base their products off of? Their prices, sorry. Their prices are based off of a few things. Number one, value delivered. Software companies, ServiceTitan, it doesn't cost them 50% in software expenses. Maybe overhead and support's high because you got to pay salespeople to sell the product. You have an onboarding, and then you have a support. But they're going at onboarding in groups. They've scaled back support. And then maybe they've ramped it back up. I don't know. But software, I mean, their margins are usually huge if done properly. Are there software companies out there making hardly any money on margin? Yeah, of course there is. And I get the, when we have these conversations in these Facebook groups, everybody's like, well, Amazon's the cheapest. Yeah, Amazon's also selling international, and they didn't make a lot of money on their e-commerce side. Where they make majority of their money is off of their servers, AWS. Man, I miss having somebody to do fact checking for me. Company has surprisingly low profit margin when it comes to e-commerce, despite doing hundreds of billions in annual sales. One source other than e-commerce accounts for most of Amazon's profits, and the company is quickly building a second money-making revenue stream. That would probably be their AWS platform, which is their hosting. Doesn't work. You wonder why Amazon outsources their deliveries. People aren't W-2 employees. Amazon is a technology powerhouse. It was founded in 1994 and has amassed a $1.5 trillion valuation, which is nuts because they don't hardly make any money, but whatever. In the 30 years since, the company originally sold books online through its catalog, has expanded to include an estimated 12 million products. In 2023, Amazon accounted for 37% of all e-commerce sales in America, which was light years ahead of the second place, Walmart. For those of you guys who don't know, Walmart quickly saw sales declining and Amazon taking a, excuse me, a larger piece of the pie. So they got into, they had the audience. They didn't have the sellers and they didn't want the overhead, additional overhead. So they've actually done something similar to that Amazon's done, and they've allowed people to sell their products on Amazon, on Walmart.com. So that's why they're the second largest. But here's the thing. Online sales combined with all of its other businesses except one accounted for a minority of Amazon's operating income through the first three quarters of 2023. In 2022, they contributed no operating income at all. Saying Amazon made no money in 2022. Below, I'll tell you where Amazon generates the overwhelmingly majority of its profits in its segment. All investors should watch very closely in the future. E-commerce remains Amazon's largest segment. Before we dive into Amazon's profitability, let's look at where its revenue comes from. This is being read from Motley Fool, by the way. While the company is still very much focused on its e-commerce business, it's expanded significantly over the years to operate cloud computing, digital advertising, robotics, and streaming. Amazon generated $143 billion in total revenue during the latest third quarter, and here's where it came from. Online stores, Q3 revenue in billions, $57 billion, 40% of total revenue. Third-party seller services, $34 billion, 24% of revenue. Amazon Web Services, $23 billion in hosting in Amazon Web Services for 16%. That's where most of their revenue that generates profit comes from. Why would you get into hosting, advertising services, subscription services, physical stores? Why would you get into that? I'll tell you why you get into that. Because it's really scary when you're selling $100-something billion, $143 billion in total revenue in one quarter. It's 3 months. And you have no profit. You're a few bad days from being negative, big. Website gets hacked, is down for a week. Complete collapse of the company, right? Like, I mean, there's so many things that you have to account for. So Amazon's like, I'm sure they're like, man, I see the risk. I see the challenge, you know? You have one activist accuse Amazon of something they did or didn't do. And, you know, people boycott the website for a month. Sales decline dramatically. Overhead stays the same for the most part. They're not far off from major losses. So what do? They expanded services. They're sitting there thinking, man, we're hosting this massive website. We figured out how to keep our website online all the time. We have a reliable service, good people running our server. Other companies have this as a challenge for them. Why don't we just duplicate this and offer these services to our clients? You know who else did that? Something very similar who grew, and Amazon actually bought them out. Zappos. You guys have heard me talk a lot about Zappos because we just finished reading The Power of Wow with my companies, and we're going to tour Zappos at Summit here in a few weeks. And one thing I can tell you is this is a growing trend with companies that scale really fast and grow to be massively large businesses, is they create companies within their company. Listen, I'm okay if you want to sell your products and services for cost and not have a whole lot of profit left over at the end of the day. I'm more worried about, like, hear me when I say this. I'm concerned that if your website, your body, your shoulder, whatever, goes down for a week, a month, or two, you can't pay your bills. You can't pay your helper. What happens then? What happens when you want to go on vacation? What happens when your kids graduate or turn 16 and want a car?
Hey guys, I found something that changed my business and I want to share it with you. We've created packages that have included some of the best products in our industry to offer our service customers. The heart of that package is Stealth Hardware Kit. Stealth Hardware is the quietest hinges on the market. I challenge you to buy at least one of these, test it for yourself. Put it on your truck and design a quiet performance package for your customers willing to pay for a better, smoother running door. Buy your Stealth Hardware Kit at ServiceSpring. Do a search for quiet hinge and then buy that. You can buy a double or single door, 7 or 8 foot tall, and promise you, it'll change your service forever.
Somer USA and Somer Group want to thank you for an incredible year and the trust you put in them and their products. As you know, Somer places high value on relationships, education, customer service, innovation, and professionalism. And they are grateful to you for your part in the fostering and dissemination of these values. If there is any way Somer can support you in your journey, whether through their products, the values they hold to, or the knowledge Somer has gained through interaction with door dealers across the world, please reach out to the team at your convenience. They are here to serve you. Again, thank you from the entire Somer team. Check them out at SomerUSA.com. Tell them Ryan sent you.
Just thinking that it's a hard life knowing that you have no income unless you go out and do a spring change for $300. And then you're not taking into consideration your fuel, your truck. And you probably don't have a lot of debt. You probably don't have a lot of overhead. You're living the simple life. And you're thinking, you know what? I don't want to manage people. And that's perfectly fine. Like, that's perfectly fine. But how are you going to retire? How are you going to put your kids through school? You're going to have to do what Amazon and all these other companies did. You're going to have to expand either territory or products that can help you grow your company and be profitable. If you, I'll give you some feedback here too. Here's something interesting to chew on. You know, we love garage doors. I love garage doors. I love driving around looking at them. I love talking about them. I love how they make the house look different when you change them out. Most homeowners do not like garage doors. They don't care for them. You know how I know this? It's obvious. I've never had to put more effort into selling anything in my entire life. Not cars, not software, heck, not drugs. Definitely not drugs. That was easy. I've never had this much trouble selling anything. Case in point, this past weekend we did a home show. And for those of you guys who know me well know that we took on the Phantom Screen distributorship last year. So if we are a Phantom Screen distributor and Aaron Overhead Doors, we did... It would be smart of us to do, you know, a Phantom Screen and garage door booth. So that's what we did, you know. And here's what we found out. 90% of the people that stopped by the booth were interested in screens and sparked conversation about garage doors. Our booth was slammed.
lamb. First greens.
I don't know if it's just my market, but I talk to a lot of people. I mean, we got to work really hard to get leads, you know? And I think that's because we have more dealers and people, companies out there selling their products than we have customers. So you have a supply and demand problem. In basic economics, when you have a supply and demand problem, what happens to the price of your products and services? Basic economics. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Yep, you're right. Price goes up. If you didn't get that, it's basic economics. Supply and demand drives price up. They said when I got into the garage door business, there was over 600 garage door companies in the metro Atlanta area. There's at least two or three new ones that start minimum every month. And I would venture to say there's probably one that goes out of business every 2 or 3 months. So we're proportionally adding, let's call it 10 every quarter. And that was 9 years ago. So we're probably close to around 700 dealers plus in the metro Atlanta area. If each dealer is looking for an average of, I don't know, 10 to 15 repair jobs a day, and 5 quotes for new doors a day. Metro Atlanta is massive. The supply is low. The supply of customers is low. So the demand for dealers is high, which means that marketing companies can charge more and manipulate us. Home Advisor can charge four of us $56, $65, $80 for a lead each. Google can charge us $60, $70 each, $100 for a lead. Everyone around us is smart enough to understand the idea of supply and demand and adjust pricing, but we still have you guys doing torsion conversions with 10 parts being swapped out for $375 because you say that it's just your time and $100 worth of parts, which I don't even know how y'all are getting it for $100. I have no clue. I'm not buying it for $100, but I'm also not buying the cheapest thing on. So maybe you guys are getting your parts from China or something, or maybe you're just buying like $20,000-$30,000 worth of parts at one time. I don't know. But we're buying the top of the line, everything. The bearings are sealed for the plates. The tubes thicker. The drums we upgrade from 8 to 12 foot high, which, you know, take that or leave that. The cables are stainless steel. The springs are pinged and powder coated. So, I mean, I don't know. And there's people standing up for the fact that they are right. And that if you're charging more than that, you're ripping people off. That's the most unhealthy, dysfunctional view of business that I could possibly think of. And then the rebuttal of, well, you know what? I actually, Amazon does it. We're a low cost provider. You know, we win jobs. Guess who would win jobs if you weren't undercutting everybody by a lot? Guess who would win them? Probably not you. You want to know why? Because if you could sell them for more, you would. But the problem is that you don't have enough confidence in yourself or the product that you deliver to sell your services for the right amount. And instead, you're choosing to be a hostage and punish your family, your kids, everyone around you. Complain about your phone going berserk all the time and how you got to answer the phone, you know, whenever it rings. And, you know, you go to your kid's ball game and you're like, man, I'm just wore out. I'm busy all the time. Never stops. Like the humble brag thing, you know? But guess who would be busy if they raise their prices? Not you. Not you. Homeowners are robbing you, and you're okay with it. It's like, I'll tell you what it's like for me, because I love entrepreneurs. I love helping entrepreneurs. I love developing myself as an entrepreneur. It's like watching your kid get addicted to drugs and everyone tell them that it's wrong and that they're headed down the wrong path and that they need to get help. And they're like, no, this is the way I want to live my life. You're wrong for not doing this too. That's what it feels like a little bit, for me, at least. I'm not saying that's what it's like. I'm just saying, from my perspective, it's like watching you drive into a brick wall 5 times in a row, hurting yourself each time, and then you get out and you get back in the car and you back up and run into it again. What do you think? Why do you think businesses charge 3-4 times, some cases 5 times more for the same work and still have a massive amount of happy customers? I'll play devil's advocate. Maybe the customer doesn't know that they could get it cheaper somewhere else. That's fair. Maybe they thought they were buying it for as cheap as they could possibly get it. Maybe they just don't know any better. And it's our job to educate them. Hey, you could buy this for, you could buy all the parts for $100 and do it yourself, or you could pay me, you know, $1,200. Maybe the customers don't know. It's crazy. And the thing about it is it's everywhere. And the only time that you should do anything like super dirt cheap where you don't make any money, that's called a loss leader. And it's designed to get cheap people to bite on it like a fish to a minnow so that you can set the hook. I don't do lost leaders. Some of y'all don't do lost leaders. I'm here to make money. I don't want to grind till I'm 65, 70 years old. Not interested. I've been grinding since I was like 16, 17 years old. I'm done. Like I got like 10 more years. I have a plan. I'm checking out. I'm moving on. So I just want to challenge you guys to make a decision and check your numbers, man. And if I haven't gotten through to you, then maybe there's just no hope. We'll just see you on the other side. And when we're in heaven, chalking it up on the front porch of our big old palace, I'm going to say, man, you still got into heaven, although you were pricing your parts too cheap. And you'll laugh and you'll say, yep, you still got into heaven, although you ripped everybody off. And it's okay. Who's wrong? Who's right? I don't know. But what I will tell you is I would rather have a good life than be a slave to my trade and my customers every single day. I would rather have enough money to serve them well and to bless them and to do charitable acts of service than wish I had enough money to do those things. So anyway, I'm gonna wrap it up. I love you guys. Listen, you know I'm only telling you this because I love you. I appreciate you. I hope this got through to a couple of you. I know I've had a podcast similar to this before, but I feel like I can't stop reaching this. You got to know your numbers. You got to price things out the right way, and you got to hit them. And in order to do that, you probably have to deliver a better experience with better quality parts and better customer service, better systems and processes. You're going to have to invest in some stuff. Till next time. Have a blessed day.